So your next assignment is the self-portrait assignment. And here's what you need to do. For this assignment, you need to shoot at least 36 exposures, if not more, and you're going to produce 2 mounted prints. We're going to be mounting everything from here on out, and pretty much every assignment is going to be 2 prints unless I specifically say otherwise. So these prints should be the very best prints that you're capable of making. And now that you've had a little experience doing the mounting thing, the mounting should look really good too. Hopefully if you had any problems with mounting this time, you'll get all sort of worked through that before we get to this next assignment. You know, what we're hoping is that craftsmanship isn't something that'll become like a really big issue. The thing about mounting is you should do it so well that we actually don't even notice it, which is one of those weird little things. But the more you practice it, the better that will get. So we're hoping that that will be the case. As you can tell from the title of the assignment, I want you to produce pictures that I loosely call self-portrayal. They're about you. So you're going to be doing pictures that are about you. And there's a bunch of different ways to potentially think about this. What we're not looking for is just a simple physical description of what you look like. I don't want like the Olin Mills portrait of you sort of posing for us. That's not what we're really after. You can do that really easily. We're looking for something, you know, more than that. So what are we looking for? Any of these things are a potential possibility if you want to think about it. You could potentially think about the way you perceive yourself as different from other people. You could potentially think about the way you are perceived by others. You might want to think about the way you would like to be perceived by others. Or you may want to think about how you may or may not relate to your surrounding environment. And that could mean a bunch of different things. It could mean physically, it could mean psychologically, it could mean politically. There's a lot of potential interpretations there. It could be real straightforward, or it can be, you know, sort of over the top, sort of, you know, dramatic if you want to do that. Whatever, it's up to you. Although you may elect to use an image of yourself, that's not necessarily the only way to do it. Although I have to tell you, all the examples I'm going to show you today do indeed include the physical presence of the photographer. So it probably is the most likely way for you to go about doing this assignment. Okay. The one thing you want to do is probably avoid the cliche. So you probably don't want to take a picture of yourself with a liquor bottle or right in a mirror. You know, that's, it's like, okay, I'm a college and I drink a lot. Come on. Okay. So we can go beyond that. So, you know, avoid the cliche things. I know this isn't necessarily one of the easiest ideas to deal with. In fact, you know, in my past, in terms of teaching this assignment, I've had some people who were really at ease with that because they were comfortable with who they were. I've had other people who've not wanted to think about who they are as a person, you know, all that kind of stuff. Just remember, this assignment's not meant to send you into a paranoid schizophrenic frenzy, okay? I want you to be as open as you can be with us while doing this assignment. You know, I've had people who've given me like really, really serious things about their life and had that be a part of it. And I've had other people who've taken a much more lighthearted example, and I will show you some examples of that. So let's look at some examples. In the history of art, and we can go back to the ancient Greeks, people have been doing self-portraits forever. It's been a part of the concept of being an artist for a long, long time. It's just a way to, you know, check in and say, this is who I am as a person. This is how I am in the world. And it's an interesting sort of art form. I'm going to start with a painter from Mexico. Her name's Frida Kahlo. Got to be really well known in the 30s and 40s in Mexico. And she actually got really well known up here in North America as well. Had lots of gallery and museum shows. She was married to a famous Mexican muralist, a guy named Diego Rivera, who you may have heard. They had this really sort of tempestuous relationship. And so a lot of her paintings involve things about Diego Rivera. But also a lot of her work revolves around her physical body. She was in a bus wreck in Mexico when she was 19 years old. And a handrail from the bus actually went through her body. And so she was crippled essentially for the rest of her life. So a lot of her paintings deal with the sort of physical pain she was in, the emotional pain she was in from having that happen. So if you ever look up Frida Kahlo, there's this, you know, incredibly large body of work that has to deal with self-portraits. This is her, and on her forehead is a painting of her husband, Diego Rivera. It's called Diego on My Mind. Pretty straightforward, right? It's been this way in sculpture, too. This is actually a sculpture, a bronze sculpture by a guy that used to teach sculpture here, a guy named Harry Gefford. One of the things about Harry's work has always been that it's been a form of self-portrait. Sometimes he was literally in the piece. That's Harry, 6 feet of bronze. That's Harry, right? He did a life cast of his body. But one of the really important things about this particular piece is, you see there's like a tree with roots that come up. All these little things that revolve around the roots are little parts of his life, little bits and pieces of his life. So down here is a former girlfriend and him walking his dog. It was a part of his life, an important part, important enough to include in the piece. He was raised on a farm in West Texas, so, you know, there's little reminders of what it was like to grow up on the farm. There's these chickens that are part of it. And all of this sort of swirls up through the sculpture, and all of it's about him and who he is and where he came from. That's what I'm talking about doing for this assignment, is for you to give us some information about who you are as a person. Okay. Robert Mapplethorpe, one of the most important photographers in the last century, had he survived, he would have been one of the most important artists of this century as well. Robert Mapplethorpe had AIDS, and he got AIDS at a time when the medicines weren't as good, and when you got AIDS at that point, it really was a death sentence. And so for him, he chronicled the last part of his life, knowing that he was going to die. And so he confronted his own mortality through photographic imagery. Some of it was real subtle, some of it was more blatant, like this. So what I'm going to ask you to do during the course of this assignment is to really think about who you are, what your life is like, and share as much of that as you can with us. Cindy Sherman is a really important photographer in the history of photography. And she takes a slightly different take on things. Rather than doing work specifically about herself, she did work that was really about who she is as a woman in culture. And the way she did that was to take the idea of women and their roles in movies, in the course of movie making. So she, you know, when she was in school, she had a bunch of friends who were filmmakers, and so she was watching a lot of films and doing things like that with them. And, you know, it occurred to her that after watching all these films, for one, there were very, very few strong women's roles in those movies. Most of the roles had women in really sort of subservient roles that played a minor part of the story. And, you know, I think she was pretty curious about that. And this is also at a time at the rise and sort of the height of feminism, as we have heard about it from the 60s through the 80s. So this was sort of late 70s, early 80s, when she's sort of thinking about feminism as a movement and all of that. So she did a group of work called Untitled Film Stills. In the course of making movies, they always document the making of a movie by taking pictures of each scene. And so she took that sort of concept and actually dressed up. So she's in every one of these pictures. She looks as though she's playing a role in a movie. And all of them have that sort of interesting cultural take on it. So, you know, a woman in the kitchen or a woman in the bedroom, things like that. It's an interesting sort of cultural critique. And the next several women I'm going to show you sort of take on that particular role. Judith Golden had a similar concept. Now, Judith Golden was an art teacher. And, you know, she was getting to that point where as she became sort of middle-aged, she started to ponder things like getting plastic surgery to get a facelift. And, you know, she had been brought up through this really sort of hardcore feminist movement, and she thought she was really at odds with herself about doing this facelift thing and having that sort of concept with feminism. And so, you know, she wondered why she felt that way. And you know, basically through her research, when she started looking at where that sort of input came from, it's basically through media, mass media. And she sort of discovered that in every form of mass media, whether it was televisions or magazines or advertising, that basically America is a youth culture. And if you're not a young person, then you're really, really old. And so she took that idea, she got all these magazine covers that had these beautiful young people on them, and she started cutting their faces out and started putting her face in there instead. Okay? Judy Dater, another interesting woman. Judy Dater may be the most interesting of all of those for me. Judy Dater's early work was very traditional, black and white photographs of female nudes. Classic, beautiful female nudes. Now, the interesting thing is she did that at a time when the feminist movement was really, really strong and important, and there was a lot of debate publicly about that, and she caught a lot of grief from her colleagues. They said, Judy, you're a strong woman. Why are you doing these sort of beautiful female nudes that objectify women? And she didn't really see it that way, although after she thought about it for a while, she started to consider where the source of that came from. Essentially, she had, you know, in terms of her photographic education, she looked back at all the teachers she had, and essentially they were all sort of, you know, middle-aged white men. And so she started to think, maybe I've been sort of brainwashed. Something to think about, right? So she started to reconsider the role of women in culture. And I think, you know, there's some of, if I were to say to you, have you ever thought about going to a bar or a place that you've heard called a meat market? You know, that's sort of what her idea is here, just in terms of sort of taking her take on that in a really sort of visual upfront way. The entire body of work has a very similar sort of over-the-top feel to it. So you might want to, you know, take a cultural look, a cultural critique through yourself, through your eyes. One of my favorite photographers is a guy named Dwayne Michaels. And Dwayne Michaels' work, he's been working for a long, long time. One of the things I would say that is consistent about Dwayne Michaels' work is that he consistently appears in his own photographs. Sometimes as himself, so that he talks directly about his life, and sometimes in more sort of metaphorical terms too. Dwayne Michaels decided that as he was growing up and became a photographer, that he would tell the truth about himself and who he was. And so what he has come to do publicly is to describe himself as a gay man in America and what his life is like. So part of that was very uncomfortable for him when he was a youngster. He had conflicts with his family. He was, he felt like an outcast in his own family. Eventually, there was a resolution to that. So a lot of his work will be things that are about that. There will be other sort of other philosophical ways of talking, too, that he portrays through himself that aren't so blatant. The one thing that I would say in addition to being consistent in terms of having him is that he also works in the narrative sequence. He always works in sort of multiple images, and a lot of times there will actually be written words as well where he'll literally write a story on the photograph. So Dwayne Michaels is an interesting guy. If you want to look him up, you might find some interesting work. Ken Josephson, who I've shown you before with some other bodies of work, actually did a really nice series of work that included his own physical presence without actually showing his face. So this is his hand, and that's his shadow. So we do acknowledge Ken Josephson in the picture without actually seeing his face. One of the things he did, he went to visit a bunch of really important, famous landmarks in America and in Europe. And one of the things he would do is he would buy postcards of those places, and then he would hold the postcard out so that you could see the landmarks and the postcard together. Sort of, you know, humorous sort of take on being a tourist. But I think this is a really nice example of, without sort of mentioning those other references, just a nice sort of example of saying, you know what? Ken Josephson is a photographer, and this is the way he sees the world. You know, he sees the world framed up like that. I think that's a pretty interesting take on just being a photographer. The Starnes twins. You probably wouldn't really think of the Starnes twins as doing, you know, a lot of self-portraits, and I don't think they do. But I think one of the interesting things about this picture in particular is when they were coming up together, because they're twins and they collaborate when they make their work, people have tended to think of them as one entity, Doug and Mike Starnes. The Starnes twins is what they used to be called. Now they insist on being called Doug and Mike individuals. And so they sort of did their little take on that. You know, since they're twins, they did this sort of mirror image thing. But if it were really truly a mirror image, both heads would be turned in the same direction. Their little twist on that was they had the head turned the other direction so that they could acknowledge, yes, indeed, they are very similar, but they are different people. So it can be subtle little things like that. One of my favorite photographers is a young lady named Francesca Woodman, who unfortunately is no longer with us. She committed suicide at a really early age. And I think the temptation is to look at her work and to try and find out if there was some sort of angst or some sort of hidden message in there that was going to lead us to conclude that she would kill herself. There's not. But she did, in her body, her short, wonderful body of work, did use herself mostly as the model. You know, it's hard to say what a lot of this work is about, but they're just interesting sort of pictures. So this is one called My Conversation with Daniel. And you would think, in terms of self-portrait, that would be her up there. It's actually not. It was a friend of hers. So she took a friend of hers to this location. She laid down on the floor and had her friend dust the entire room with flour. And then she got up off of there so that she essentially left her shadow on the floor, which I thought was a pretty spectacular way of doing it. And then she had her friend sit down, and then she took that portrait. What does it mean? I don't know, but it's a pretty spectacular image. This is also her as well. And, you know, I think one of the things I like about Francesca Woodman's body of work is that she was really curious about a lot of different stuff. She was curious about geometry and where she saw geometry in the world. All of that was sort of spurred on by finding just this weird little geometry book at a used bookstore. So she started making pictures that had geometric shapes in them, and then she actually mounted them inside this book that she had found. Interesting sort of approach. I do self-portraits occasionally. I think it's important that I sort of check in, see where I'm at. You know, I think the thing is, you can sort of take yourself really too seriously. And I think when everybody thinks about serious artists, they think about Vincent Van Gogh, like seriously crazy, cuts his ear off and stuff like that. My take is I don't take it that seriously. I like to have some fun with my artwork too. So I did my self-portrait as Vincent Van Gogh after he cut his ear off. Okay. Here's some student examples. So this looks like it could be Photoshopped where she did that, but she literally just made up half of her face. So, you know, she was really talking about the kind of person that she is. She has this time when she has to be dressed up and be this other persona, and then there's this other time when she likes to take away the makeup and she likes to just be a person. So I think you can address those kinds of ideas through this assignment. This person was a painting major here. And she said, I'm a painting major. Can I do a picture that has paint on it? Because that really speaks to who I am. And I said, yeah. And I would say that to you as well. Here's the one thing I would tell you to consider, is if you think you might do something like this on top of your print, you have a lot of things to consider. Like, is the paint going to actually stick to the material? I think that's something. So you have to think about what kind of paint you're going to use. You also have to think about how you're going to mount your photograph after that. Like if you paint on top of your photograph with acrylic paints and then you try to put it in a dry mount press with all that heat, you'll essentially melt all that stuff together. Not a good idea. So you have to have maybe an alternative method for mounting. So here's my advice at this point. If you think you might try something alternative like this, talk to me first so I can help you sort of work through what the potential problems are. This was done before we were doing computers. This is actually a darkroom thing. The way this guy did this picture was he took a picture of himself, full face on. He paid attention to the light so that the light was interesting. He also photographed a skeleton. So they had like a drawing skeleton up in the drawing room. He went up and he photographed that, paying attention to the light. And then he had two separate negatives that he laid one on top of another and printed them as if they were one. You can do the same thing in Photoshop. You can layer images together in Photoshop relatively easy, but you do have to pay attention to where light areas are and where dark areas are when you're actually shooting things. So if you're interested potentially in doing this idea, why don't you talk to me first? I'll help you think about how you might want to shoot this thing so it will go together more easily in Photoshop. it doesn't have to be this angst-ridden stuff. It can actually be pretty humorous. You know, this guy, he was a funny guy, but he was sort of stuck. You know, he couldn't figure out what he needed to do for the self-portrait assignment. I said, well, you know, tell me what's going on with you. He goes, hey, you know, I'm a student, I have a job, I have a girlfriend, her mother hates me. You know, he said it just like that, and I said, so why does her mother hate you? And he goes, well, you know, every time I go over to their house, she looks at me like I'm some sort of pervert trying to get his daughter, right? And I said, well, that sounds like a pretty interesting idea. Why don't you work with that? So he basically dressed up like a flasher, and he went around to all these places and flashed, and then he wrote these little stories up at the top. They were really humorous. So, you know, these can be humorous things if you want them to. You know, it doesn't have to be all serious stuff. This guy liked to dress up like Elvis. It was a big secret until he did this thing. But he basically dressed up like Elvis and drove around Dallas taking pictures of himself at all of these other places. Pretty interesting. Pretty bold. Okay. This person was thinking about transferring from here. She had gone to school here. Her dad taught here. She didn't want to be here anymore. And so this was a picture that was sort of about that. And, you know, when we talked about it, she said, you know, I sort of feel like I'm a hitchhiker, like I need to move on from here. So that was really the source of that top image. And you know, when she sort of talked about what these bottom things were, she said these were like things in her life that she had already been through and that she was ready to leave behind. So, you know, the thing is, I think this assignment will work better for you if you can sort of be open and honest and add something in there that will be you know, important to you, I think is the best way to put that. This person, you know, her main activity in life was leisure time. That's what she told me, right? So, you know, she took a picture of herself in her most relaxing moment. So she liked to, you know, sort of take a hot bath, put some cucumber slices on her eyes, and just relax. Nothing wrong with that. Now, she did make sure her hair looked good and all that kind of stuff. So, you know, it's like, it can be just about anything you want it to be. This assignment can be just about anything you want it to be. This person's former student was from Ireland. She hadn't been home in 7 years, and she really missed her family. So, you know, she did a couple of pictures. One of them has her in bed and sort of, you know, those thoughts at night when she was trying to go to sleep that went to her family. And this picture over here is of her actually looking out the window, sort of longing for home. So it can be big, important things like that, or, you know, fun things. This one was done by a student who ended up being a forest ranger. Go and figure. Right? So she did a self-portrait that had her in the woods. This is sort of an interesting picture. People always ask me how she did this. Well, this was done with a film camera, and she was able to do it with her camera because she had the B setting, which allowed her to lock her camera open for an indefinite period of time. If you have a digital camera, you may find it a little bit difficult to do that. You may have to take a series of shorter pictures and then blend them together in Photoshop. But I'll describe how she did this. She found a place that had some woods that she thought would work, which is actually down at the zoo. She had sort of scoped that out. She went down with her camera on a tripod when the sun was still up so that she could focus and compose her scene. She also sort of planned where she would be in the picture, since she knew she was going to be in several different locations in the picture. She took a friend with her to assist. So when it got dark enough, she put her camera on B and locked it open. That means it was dark enough where she wasn't getting a lot of exposure into the camera. So after she locked it open, she went to the back of the scene. She stood by a tree and then had her friend, who was off camera, turn on a flashlight and light her up. He painted her with light and also painted the tree as well. So when she thought he had done enough, she said stop. He turned off the light and she moved to the next tree. She said, okay, I'm here. He turned on the flashlight, lit her, lit the tree, and when she thought it was enough, she said stop. He turned off the light, and so forth, until she had him light essentially the entire scene. Okay. Which begs the question, can you have a friend help you? The answer is yes. Now, I would also say, if you can do it by yourself, where you put your camera on self-timer, and your camera's on a tripod, that's probably better. But if you have to have a friend help you do something like that, this is okay. The one thing I would also tell you is, if your friend shakes the camera, you can't blame your friend for your picture not turning out. Like, it's not valid to come in and say, well, it was going to be a great picture, but my friend messed it up. That's not going to work. So you need to, you know, double check and make sure that the pictures all turn out, okay? This one, this guy did this when the movie The Matrix came out. So the very first Matrix, like, he loved the special effects. And one of the problems he had was, you know, when he was thinking about what he liked about the movie, he thought it was just like all the kung fu stuff, right? So he did 36 pictures of him doing that, which, when you realize you have 36 pictures of it, it's not very interesting. So I sort of looked at him, he said, man, I really don't know what to do. So I said, what was it about that movie that really, really interested you? And he goes, well, it was the special effects. It wasn't just the kung fu, it was the special effects. And I said, well, maybe we need to do some sort of special effect here. And this one was done before we were doing computer stuff, so he had to figure out another way to do it. And he said, well, you know, I can't really figure it out. I just might as well burn them all. And I said, ooh, burn it. Get a match, burn it, see what happens. He literally melted his negative and then printed that. So what I'm telling you here is not necessarily to burn everything you do, but to be really open-minded about what the possibilities are in terms of how you deal with this, right? I'm going to be open-minded when you pursue this. So if you come to problems, come talk to me. We'll see if we can figure out the best way to sort of approach this. And we're going to end it on this one, sort of brings us back full circle. So this young lady was of Hispanic heritage, and she loved Frida Kahlo's work. So she decided that she would do an homage to Frida Kahlo. And, you know, basically what she did was she did research about her own family and where they came from in Mexico. And she found out what the historic natural dress for the people from that area of Mexico was. So she wore dresses from that part of Mexico. She had a sugar skull on her shoulder because it was about the time when the Day of the Dead was happening in early November. So she brought in a bunch of elements that Frida Kahlo had addressed when she did her own self-portrait. Now, you'll also notice it looks a little bit strange. There's an interesting sort of effect on there. This print was also solarized, which was a technique in the darkroom where you re-exposed a partially developed print. There is actually a filter in Photoshop called Solarize that you can apply, but you got to be careful with it because it can look sort of kitschy if you do it too much. But that's sort of where we're going to leave off today. So, you know, I'm going to leave it with saying, you know, give us what you can of yourself. The more open you can be, the more interesting I think your pictures will be. Questions? No questions? Wow. Okay, good. Let me turn this little